The Al-Qaeda-affiliated Islamic State of Iraq and the Levant is set to have taken the northern Syrian city of Raqqa following deadly clashes with rival insurgent groups. The extremists have been executing people, preventing the delivery of humanitarian aid and enforcing a strictly fundamental form of what they call Sharia law on areas they've occupied. So how has all this affected the war against President Bashar al-Assad and the international support it's been getting? Can the upcoming peace conference help resolve the crisis? I'm Homa Lezgi, and you're watching The Debate.
Fighting is raging on among foreign-backed militant groups opposed to the Syrian government. Clashes are mainly taking place between the Al-Qaeda-linked Islamic State of Iraq and Levant, also known as the ISIL, on one side and other insurgent groups on the other. The latest battles have occurred in the northern parts of Syria over the past days, where over 1,000 militants have been killed so far. Reports also say that the ISIL has seized some areas from the rival insurgents, including the city of Raqqa. The insurgent infighting has caused worries among the foreign-based opposition groups, which are already divided in their attempts to topple the government of President Bashar al-Assad. The fragmented opposition has not even decided yet to take part in the Geneva II International Peace Conference on Syria, which is due on January 22nd. The division on attending the conference has continued despite efforts by the opposition's foreign backers, including the US, to make them united. The Syrian government has said that it will attend the conference, but won't accept any preconditions. Meanwhile, the US remains opposed to Iran's participation, despite calls that Tehran must be part of a solution to the Syrian crisis. Iran says it's ready to attend the Geneva II gathering if it's invited without preconditions, and that Iran's dignity must be respected.
We are prepared to participate actively and positively in finding any peaceful resolution to the Syrian crisis, because we believe there is only one option in Syria, and that is to find a peaceful resolution. There is no military solution to Syria.
Tehran also says the Syrian people are the only ones who must decide their future. The warring sides have so far failed to hold talks amid the lingering armed conflict, as well as the deep rifts among anti-government groups and their foreign backers. Observers say Syrians must have their final say on every decision on their country in order for any solution to be worthwhile.
You're watching The Debate. Joining us now live from Washington is political commentator Dr. Randy Short, and with us live from London is Salafi cleric Anjum Chaudhry. Thank you so much, gentlemen, for being with us. I'll put my first question to our guest in London, Mr. Chaudhry. How do you think the infighting is affecting the insurgent campaign against the Syrian government? Both that and also how much is this situation affecting the amount of support that these insurgent groups are getting from outside the country?
Yes, thank you for having me on your show once again. I think we need to make three very clear points. The first point is that Muslims are agreed that jihad is the only solution, in fact, in Syria. Whichever group you're talking about, whether you talk about the ISIL or Jabhat al-Nusra, or even the people who are the different factions, they agree that Bashar al-Assad needs to be removed, and they agree that jihad is the only solution to achieve this. The second thing that we need to appreciate is that these various groups which have their disagreements, we call this ikhtilaf at-tanawwa, difference, you know, in ijtihad, are agreed as well that the ultimate solution for Syria is to establish the Khilafah, meaning to have an Islamic State. And that is the only option. Today we have over 55 so-called Muslim countries, none of which implement the Sharia, including Iran and Saudi Arabia and, of course, Syria under Bashar al-Assad. So this is the second point we need to be clear about.
So, Mr. Chaudhry, are you saying then that the Syrian people can, do you think, can decide that? You say that we need an Islamic government. Do you think the Syrian people should decide
it? It's not about a plebiscite. No, it's not about a plebiscite, it's not about democracy. What we have today is two camps. One which believes that sovereignty belongs to God, who believe in implementing the Sharia, who believe in Khilafah and the Jihad, and the other who believe in democracy, Geneva II, the Iranian and the Iraqi regime, etc. What I would say to you is that the effect, that this difference of opinions had in the area is not great. In fact, you can find that the ISIL has been more successful than ever before. They are fighting now the Iraqi regime and the Syrian regime. We find that, in fact, Bashar al-Assad is, you know, on his last limbs. Everybody knows, including the Americans, that Bashar al-Assad will be removed. So the question now is not about, you know, do they support the FSA or do they support the Iranian regime? The question is for everyone, including the Iraqi and the Iranian regime and as well Bashar al-Assad, they know that the Al-Qaeda and the Mujahideen are going to rise and they're going to take power. The only question that they have is how they can stop them. But they can't stop them because I believe this is unstoppable now.
Well, let's go to our guest in Washington, Dr. Short. The situation now in Syria is the extreme level of infighting that we're seeing. Hundreds of militants have been killed as a result of this fighting that's taking place between different groups. First of all, I'd like to have your opinion on how this is affecting the situation against Bashar al-Assad and also the amount of international support these groups have been getting. I mean, do you think that Turkey is going to stop that support, and do you think Saudi Arabia is going to be isolated in giving that support?
Well, you asked me many questions. I simply want to say, first and foremost, the infighting among the groups that are supposed to be arrayed against the Assad regime show that Israel, the United States, NATO, Turkey, Saudi Arabia, and all the fanatical forces that do not like the Assad regime, that they've backed losers who are incapable of creating an Islamic state. They're incapable of even working together to topple a state that they do not like. And if this is an example of a solution via jihad, it needs to be stopped. In terms of Turkey, they already have an internal problem by getting involved in something that they should have left alone. And the United States has cut off funding to the Free Syrian Army several weeks ago. All the other countries want to distance themselves, and this whole implosion of these Takfiri fanatics has strengthened the hand of more balanced states like Putin and Russia and China, and having Iran be a broker at Geneva too. So in reality, Assad, I differ with Mr. Chaudhry, he looks strong. And these people who are making war in Iraq against the Maliki are fortunate that people like President Barack Obama and others have not come and stepped in and gone into Fallujah. So in reality, these fighters may find themselves causing intervention from the very people who put them in the field to crush them. And I differ with Mr. Chaudhry when he says that God is the person that's making the decision. It seems like it's the money coming from Mossad and MI-16 and the CIA and Prince Bandar's filthy money that seems to be speaking for what he calls his God, and that's shirk. The people of Iraq and the people of Syria and everywhere else should decide how they're ruled.
Yes.
And you can't impose that because that's not real.
Mr. Chaudhry, you said
to impose it, and they'll never succeed.
Mr. Chaudhry, you said that you think the militants who are now fighting against Bashar al-Assad, their only option is jihad, and they all agree on that. That brings us to the question of why then are we seeing this fighting between them that's really strong, that's really hurting the position of militant groups? What's leading to this, deadly violence between them? And also your argument that you say the Syrian president is in a weak position. A lot of people would differ with that, and they would say that, in fact, this infighting and the atrocities committed by these groups is actually giving a lot of strength to President Bashar al-Assad.
Well, let me deal with each of those points in turn, but let me begin by saying that the Shia Crescent and the Hezbollah, the Iranian regime, and the Syrian regime have committed atrocities which are untold and unfathomable in comparison to anything that could have been or, you know, is supposed to have been committed by the Mujahideen, first of all. Secondly, it's completely nonsensical to think that the American and the British and the Saudi regimes, those, in fact, that we are rising against to overthrow and to implement the Sharia, are, in fact, backing the Mujahideen you know, against their own puppets in the area, which are the, you know, the Israelis, for example, you know, Bashar before. Let's face it, the best defense for Israel is to maintain the Iranian regime and Hezbollah and the Syrian regime, who haven't fired a bullet in the last 6 years. So what I would say to you is that, you know, this difference of opinion among the Mujahideen is only on the basis of whether they should declare, you know, Imara Khasa at the moment, you know, which is what Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi has declared, or whether they should have really a formation of jihad and continue this and make a declaration later. But all of these Muslims, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, Abu Muhammad al-Julani, whether any of the ulama that you quote, they all agree jihad is the only solution for Syria.
So they're prepared to kill each other because
the Muslims,
of this disagreement
wherever they
then.
Are in the world, to support this verbally, financially, and physically.
So they're going to fight
yes.
each other, and that's
they're,
a solution.
They're ready
to,
then to kill
each
other because each of
other.
This disagreement. Is that what you're saying?
No, it's not about killing each other at all. You know, I think you're mistaken.
That seems like
what
a
you
solution.
Find, in fact,
Look,
is that there is some difference
saying.
Of opinion, but this difference of opinion. This is a difference of opinion is allowed in Islam.
A difference of
and
opinion,
really, the one on the ground, Sheikh Abu Bakr
al-Baghdadi,
he knows better his situation than someone far away.
That's some interesting damage control here.
Dr. Andy Short, one question.
Well, you know, there's a lot of propaganda against the Muslims and the Mujahideen. You know, what I would say to you, Randy, and I was, what I would say to you, Guma, you know, the presenter,
not
is that
you're the
people,
biggest
do not, people do not travel.
And I'll
people
call
do
you
not travel
Anjum.
1,000
I have a name,
miles.
It's Dr.
Randy,
Short.
Pause for breath.
And stop patronizing me.
Second.
Aside from being a religious bigot, you're racist. And so, you know, I'm not going
to
even take this from you. I've let you do this for the last few months. You can't tell the truth. You call people murdering each other. A difference
you
of opinion.
I
mean,
yes.
What an understatement. You're
world.
Very irrational, you're very dishonest, and you misrepresent Islam, and
so
your
says,
people
so
that you're supporting are showing themselves
own,
to be butchers.
Islam in
and
America.
You're, basically,
I mean, you're
when you put this information out, you endanger Muslims in England
Look
and in other
the,
places
the Sharia,
who are,
from the Quran,
are made
the
to seem as if they think the same as you. Your ideas are very dangerous, they're not healthy, and it's bad for the Syrian people. People, and I haven't yet heard you mention a need for zakat, for relief for the millions of Syrian refugees. You really do not care. You don't care. You like blood. Dam in Arabic. That's what you care about. You like seeing blood flow. That's what you're about.
Okay, now, Mr. Chaudhry.
It was my turn. Yes. Don't please, no, okay. You were supposed to ask me a question.
Okay.
I just had to deal with him.
Okay, Dr. Short, this question to you before
fair
we go
fair.
Back to London. Okay, Dr. Short, we are hearing now Ban Ki-moon has reportedly said that he wants to discuss the role of Saudi Arabia in supporting terrorist groups in Iraq. And this is supposed to extend to its support, you know, to terrorist groups also in Syria. Do you think that this is a positive step that is going to decrease the level of support that these militants are getting, and it's going to affect the Geneva II conference? Do you think that this conference is moving in the right direction?
I think it's not only moving in the right direction for the conference. The people in Saudi Arabia need to be very concerned about President Putin's vow that he's going to crush their foreign legion called Al-Qaeda. So they may want to temper themselves before they find themselves being the victim of the same thing that they do in Africa, Asia, and throughout the Levant. I mean, they have a lot of nerve to think that they can kill, steal, and destroy and hide their hands and that not visit their kingdom. And anybody that's looked at the map that these Zionists have created have already had a plan to partition Saudi Arabia. So they're cutting their own throats. They need to pull themselves back before they get what will ultimately happen anyway. So I love the conference. I applaud it. What needs to happen is that Syria goes in with no preconditions, and the same thing for the Islamic Republic of Iran, and that they stop funding these killers and they provide money to take care of the millions of Syrian refugees who need fuel, who need food, who need clothing, and need sanitation. For God's sakes, why aren't people talking about the Syrian people who are the victims of yes. this menagerie, this violence, this genocide against an Islamic State that should have been left alone?
Mr. Chaudhry, is it permissible under Islam, under God's laws, according to Islam, to kill people, to kill civilians, not just Shias or Alawites, also Muslims, Muslim Sunnis, even Christians who've been attacked, who've been kidnapped and killed? How does Islam permit the killing of ordinary innocent civilians?
Yeah, this is an excellent question, but just before I come on to that, let me make one thing clear. As Muslims, we do not recognize the United Nations.
Questions.
We do not recognize the Security Council. We do not recognize NATO. We don't recognize Geneva 2, 3,
you
or 4.
Don't recognize human
All
rights.
Of the regimes in the area are taghut, are regimes of the devil, whether the Iranian or the Iraqi or the Syrian regime. As far as jihad is concerned, jihad is very pure. Of course, we fight those people who are fighting us. But sometimes in the target, you will find innocent people. But definitely, they will never be targeted. What we have to understand about the jihad, which is taking place in Syria by Jabhat al-Nusra and the Islamic State of Iraq and Levant, it is a very pure jihad. People are coming from thousands of miles. The last thing on their agenda is to kill women and children.
Pure
they
jihad.
May die in the crossfire,
killing
but they will
babies.
Never be targeted by the Mujahideen. This is the propaganda of the Iranian
killing
regime and the
Muslims.
Iraqi regime,
pure.
Bashar al-Assad, Press
yes.
TV, the BBC and CNN, the Americans. But it's just not true. If you go to the ground,
the Iranians,
what the people
the
say,
only people telling
and for,
the truth.
This is for Randy's ears. What I would say to you, Randy, is education. Food, clothing, shelter, security.
No, my
is
name
being
is
provided
Dr.
by
Short,
exactly
Mr. Chaudhry.
Bashar al-Assad
Short.
Is being provided by
Learn
Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi.
Don't disrespect
Abu
Muhammad
al-Jawlani. Wake up, Randy, is being provided by the Mujahideen. They are providing security for the people under
no,
their own authority.
No. You,
they are
you
being
need
bombed
to wake
by the Syrian regime.
And
they are being bombed by the
counseling.
Iranian and Hezbollah.
You need some
These are the big enemies. That is the trinity
training.
Of evil in the area.
You
Randy,
need
you
yes.
need to wake up
you
and smell
it.
The coffee. You are living in cloud cuckoo land.
You're an enemy
wake
to
and
humanity. You're an enemy to Islam. You're an enemy to the people
I'm
of Syria.
I'm an enemy to the American
and
regime.
The only truth
the
that's
British
really
regime,
being told
the Israeli regime,
is the
to
Iranians
the nations, to
and the other people
freedom.
That are telling the truth
Allah
about what's
Allah
happening in Syria have actually helped the whole world. What you've done is almost brought us to the brink of World War III, where millions of people would die. I hope you're proud of yourself. As I said, you just like dumb. And since you can't call me Dr. Short, I'm going to just call you dumb because you like blood. And this pure jihad where they're murdering women and babies and raping folks, that's pure hell. That's not pure jihad. And what you've said is pure crap. It's ridiculous to
yes.
hide and to insult Islam. Okay, my folks were Muslim before yours were. This is outrageous.
Dr.
And
Short.
I get sick of hearing you justify crimes against the women and children of Syria
Randy.
The people in Lebanon now, and the people in Iraq
calm
now.
Down,
no, Adam, Dom. Stop the killing. I'm very calm. When you rationalize the mass murder of people
Let me tell you
as a difference
Randy,
of opinion, you're the one that
you
needs to
the
be
refugees.
Calm.
Pause
I thank
one
God
second,
he's
Randy.
Given me the
you
clarity
about the
of
refugees.
Mind to speak
Who's
to you directly.
The in Syria?
And you know what?
Who's
in the church
people
we
in
say
Syria?
We rebuke
but
Satan.
Okay,
I rebuke Satan right now, and you need to find out who God is.
Okay,
you're an ungodly, wicked man with very vicious ideas that are dangerous for humanity.
No, it's not Bashar al-Assad.
And someone needs to tell you. I wish you did know who God was. You don't know a thing about God. You misrepresent God.
Dr. Short, I'm sorry for jumping in here. Let's allow our viewers.
Death and destruction.
Dr. Short and Mr. Chaudhry, let's allow our viewers to be able to hear what each one of you is saying in your own time. Dr. Short, I'll start with you. Dr. Short.
Babies.
Okay. I'll start with you, Dr. Short. I'm asking Mr. Chaudhry to allow Dr. Short to make his statements and then in his own time to give his responses. Dr. Short, why do you think at this stage there's a lot of opposition coming from the United States against Iran's participation in Geneva II?
Because Iran is on a trajectory going up that can't be stopped. The Shias are on the move as one across the planet. It can't be stopped. The winds of change are blowing in their direction, and it's in the sails of them being empowered scientifically, militarily, and economically, and there's nothing they can do. That Iran cannot be stopped. It is in the direction of becoming a world-class power, and whether Israel likes it or not, or whether America likes it or not. And that's why they're even halfway negotiating with Iran. It's the power. power of the revolution started by Ayatollah Khomeini, peace be upon him, and the people who followed him. When you have Rouhani, Rafsanjani, Ahmadinejad, and other people they've supported like Nasrallah, they've become a force on the face of the earth that cannot be stopped. This is why they're afraid, and they cannot stop it. One way or the other, the diplomatic skill of the state of Iran has put them in a place where they have to be dealt with. And they can hide and talk about nuclear bombs and everything else, but those people are on track to stand for what they believe and make a contribution to the planet to turn away this world from this unipolar world that the United States has plunged us in for the last 12 years.
I'm sorry, we are running out of time. Mr. Chaudhry, I'd like your comments on first. You say that you're against the America, NATO, and outside forces, but Dr. Short was suggesting what the jihadists or militants are doing is in a way inviting American intervention or foreign intervention. They've been trying to even get that intervention. Your response
sure
to that? And also when you say that civilians are not targeted, what about the cases we've been seeing videos surfacing, you know, the bombings on civilian areas, people dying, people being executed or decapitated, you know, the amount of violence that's used?
Gas.
Well, let me say, first of all, that the Mujahideen do not support the American government or the British government in any way whatsoever. They don't want their help. They are fighting against them in Afghanistan. They fought against them in Iraq. And they're fighting the masters of the Israelis, which is the American government. So let us be absolutely clear. They have no track at all with these kuffar and these Western regimes. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, you know, they are trying very hard to gain areas in order to implement the Sharia. This has been clear from the beginning from Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi and Abu Muhammad al-Jolani. Their own objective is the establishment of the Khilafah, which has been missing from the face of the earth for 89 years.
I'm really sorry to stop you.
When you talk about the atrocities.
We are out of time. I'm really sorry to stop you there. Dr. Andy Short, if you can, in less than 30 seconds, your concluding remarks. Do you think that even if Geneva II comes up with conclusions, it's going to work because a large part of the opposition, especially the radical part, is not going to see it as a roadmap?
Well, they can't stop it. Assad has won. Iran is going to win. And the American public and the British public and the other people want peace as well as the folks in Russia. And these people who call themselves jihadi have disgraced themselves. They're not real Muslims. And it's time for us to feed and take care of the Syrian people and rebuild Syria and reconstruct it with the same government has until they can have an election to change to the government that they want if they don't keep the one they already have.
Sorry, I have to stop you. We've run out of time. Thank you very much, Dr. Andy Short, political commentator with us live from Washington. A big thank you to Salafi cleric Anjum Chaudhry with us live from London. Thank you so much for staying with us here on The Debate.